Okay, before we start, just a few announcements. First of all, I don't see him here, but to thank Yaakov Citron and his Rebbetzin for sponsoring the breakfast today. I don't know what the occasion is, and he's not even here, so hopefully he'll be here, and we'll thank him when he gets here. Two announcements from the Rebbe. The first one is there's a bit of a parking problem because of the building going on, and there have been some incidences of people parking in other people's parkings. The buildings here have allocated parkings and also blocking people that they can't get out of their parkings. So before you park, just make sure you're not in someone's parking and you're not blocking anybody when you park. Someone had to get out urgently the other day and he couldn't get out because somebody had parked in his way. I don't think there was any from here because we couldn't find the person, but either that, just be aware of that. The other request from the Rebbe is there's certain people in the building that only drink Badat's milk. That's what they do. They only drink Badat's milk. You can't always get Badat's milk. So if you're somebody that's not makpid on Badat's milk, please drink the other milk. It's all Mahadran kosher, whatever, and leave the Badat's milk for the people that only drink Badat's milk. In parentheses, in that announcement from the Rebbe, I want to sort of add in another thing, and that is the money for the tea and the coffee and the milk comes out of the Rebbe's personal pocket. And I think it only makes sense that there's a little box on top of the water urn. Make a calculation and pay the guy back for what he's spending on your tea and coffee. That's from the sponsors. The third announcement, and it's quite late, this announcement, is we're launching today the annual, those of you who've been here for more than a year know about it. Those who haven't, you'll find out about it. We're launching our annual fundraiser. Once a year, we make some ishtadlis. Besides, Yaakov, thank you already for the sponsorship. If there's an occasion, tell me otherwise. The occasion is that we got Yaakov here. So that's enough of a celebration. Okay, so you're going to be getting emails. David Fino said emails will explain what to do. The goal here, more than to get you to give money, because most of you are already giving, those who aren't, now it's time to start. But many of you are already contributing, whether it's monthly, annually, whatever, or giving donations. The goal is to reach out to other people, and preferably people who don't have that much like of Torah, and to be mezakeh them in the mitzvah of Torah. Somebody told me 40 years ago in the Negev, there wasn't that much Torah. The Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yanke Friedman, sent Avreichim around to all the secular moshavim to raise money for his yeshiva in Tifrach. And they used to come back with, let's put it in today's terminology, 20 shekels, 30 shekels. So they said to Rabbi Yanke, what are we wasting our time going fundraising for? You can't support a yeshiva on the money we're raising. He said, I'm not doing it for the yeshiva, I'm doing it for them. They need the schus of Torah. What do they have if they don't have a schus in Torah? Today, Rabbi said there isn't a moshav anywhere in the Negev that doesn't have a yeshiva or koilel in it. The kids of those people that were supporting and giving one shekel and two shekels, their kids are today learning in the yeshivas and koilels in the Negev. We have no idea how much you can mezakeh people. Look around, have a look and see. Family members, whatever, reach out to them. The email anyway explains it all. I'm not going to spend too much time. Yeah, but last year, Baruch Hashem, we reached our goal. We've raised the goal this year. To take into account two things. First of all, the cost of living, not trying to pay salaries that were being paid a year ago in today's climate. And second of all, this place desperately needs an afternoon koilel. Desperately, anybody who comes here in the afternoons knows that we need a koilel here in the afternoon and it costs money. It's been something I was about to do just before Corona blasted us. And I'm resurrecting that deep desire to start an afternoon koilel here. Huh?
How much?
150,000 shekels a year. If you sign half, I'll get someone to match. Got it? Okay. Yeah, you got it. But subtle's all right. Fine. So you'll get the emails. If you have any questions, comments, reactions, whatever, please reach out to either me or David Friedlander or the bank details, tax receipts, whatever. It's all there. Let's try and make it happen because we really want to keep this operation going and it's not so simple. So let's start. I want to speak about something today that seems to have nothing to do with Inyana de Yoima. Which there are many in Yonah the Yomas at the moment. We're in Spirit Omer, we're on the way to Shavuos, but you'll see that it has a very important message that applies to every day and every year, and it runs to the core of what we got the Torah about, why we're here. It's Mamash Halacha L'Maisa, but more than that, it'll open your eyes to just what a precious gift Hashem gave us on Shavuos. if we just scratch the surface of things that we thought we understood and understand how great people understood the Torah, and you see what's lurking there, it's quite dazzling. So I want to tell you two stories. The first story is Yosef. We all know about Yosef at Tzaddik. We're living in the sixth millennium, which is the Kufa of Yosef, the Nishainus, the Maisa Abba Simon Lobonim is connected to Yosef. Yosef was a dreamer. He had dreams. His brothers weren't exactly enamored by those dreams, and they eventually would do what they did to Yosef. Yaakov Avinu was also not exactly too happy with Yosef, and he told him off, but at the same time, Vishoma Yaakov is Adova. Yaakov said, you know what, let's wait and see. There's something, yeah, maybe, Yosef's onto something, let's see. Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim, lands up in the house of Potiphar, and there he goes and undergoes an Nisayon that is to this day shaking the very foundations of existence. You stop and think about that Nisayon, it's unbelievable. And he's just about to fall. He's just about to fall. Everyone knows the story, that's why I'm saying it fairly quickly. And he sees a vision of his father. And all the lessons and all the learnings he had from Yaakov Avinu comes back to him, and he runs out the room. He didn't have his clothes on him. That's how close he was to doing the Avera. And he lands up in prison, etc., etc. Fine. There's a small, seemingly insignificant part of that story, which most people don't catch. And that is, where did he see the vision of his father? He'll tell me, who cares where he saw the vision? He saw a vision. He saw his father. That's the message. He saw a vision of Yaakov. But we're told that it was in the chaloyim. He saw the vision of Yaakov in the window. Really, does it bother to me where he saw the vision? He saw it on the wall. He saw it on his iPhone. He saw it in his head. Who cares where he saw the vision? The story is Yaakov, not where he saw it. What's the window? Okay, so we'll hold on to that. Someone's called that solid. So there's someone from Atzola here. Yeah, I'm saying there's someone from Atzola here. So we'll push later. Okay, so hold on to that. And there's going to be about 15 Atzola guys coming here soon. That's going to be whatever. Yeah, so remember that and we'll come back to that. Fast forward a couple hundred years, Klal Yisrael are just about to go into Mitzrayim. And Yeshua sends Meraglim into Eretz Canaan to scout out the land. Send Meraglim. Moshe sent Meraglim. Yeshua sent Meraglim. Now we have to borrow here from the Kabbalists a little bit, something we don't really understand, but we can take something away from it in order to understand what's going on here. So the Rimi Pano and other Katmoinim Gedoyim Oilom tell us that Yeshua, who sent the Meraglim, was a Gilgul of Yosef. The Gilgul of Yosef. And Rocha Vazoina, which was where the Meraglim went. Remember, they went into Eretz Knan. They went to one place, the house of Rocha Vazoina. They slept there the night. They left the next morning. Mission accomplished, and they went home. She was a Gilgul of Ashes Potiphar. Now, we don't understand anything about Gilgulim. We don't understand what this means. Nishmas Echod. But what we can take away from this is that some connection between these two parshas. Yosef with Ashes Potiphar and Yosef and the Meraglim and Rocha Vazoina have something to do with each other. Let's try and see if we can understand what's going on here. So the Meraglim arrived, but strange, they went to scout out the land. They went to see if they could conquer the land. They go to Rocha Vazoina. She undergoes a major transformation. We'll see about that now. The king sends soldiers. He heard about them to arrest them. She hides them on the roof under the pishton there. There was pishton on the roof. She hid them in the pishton. The soldiers run away in the opposite direction. The next morning, she lets them out through the window and the rope. And off they go. Mission accomplished. Everything's fine. And eventually, they're going to come back when they conquer the land. She made a deal with them that she would be saved with her family.
there they called Anoshim. When they came to her that night, they called Melochim. Try and remember that as well. What happened here? What happened? What did they achieve? What did they accomplish on this mission? Put yourself into a risk like that, going into a place like that. For what? What did they achieve? What was their mission? Rashi tells us that this Rochav HaZoyna was 10 years old when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, which means she was now 50. And she's been plying her trade for 40 years. Velosai v'nogid, there wasn't a notable and important person, a king, a minister, a leader, a ruler of Eretz Canaan. Do you want to put that down, please? Just, thank you. It's been recorded if anybody needs a recording afterwards. Thank you. So, there wasn't any important person that hadn't availed themselves of her services. She was the lowest of the low. The Avi Avois Hatuma. If Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan was called Eretz Ha'eva, Shitume Zima, that's what they were into. He was the rosh of all that immorality. That immorality was concentrated and coagulated in her. She was also a very powerful person, you understand? She was the most powerful person in Canaan. People melted at just hearing her name. The most powerful people in the world were her clients. You get whatever you want, whenever you want from them. The Gemara tells us just hearing her name, you would do an Aveira. You don't have to see her even. That's how beautiful she was. Rochav. And in one night, she was Chozer B'Tshuva. She became a Geyeres. She became a Bales Ruach HaKodesh. She married a Yid, and not just any Yid. She married the Godel and Mani Gador Yeshua. And from her came 8 Nevim, including Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, Chulda HaNevi'ah. She was the grandmother. Yeshua never had sons, but through the daughters, these great Nevim came out of Rochav HaZoyna, and it all happened that night. What happened? What happened? Rabbeinu B'chaya tells us, Sheker Rachel Behevel LaYoyfi, Isha Yiras Hashem Hi Tisalel, for her beauty. Sheker Rachel Behevel LaYoyfi. If all the beauty is external beauty, it's Sheker Rachel Behevel LaYoyfi. But if that external beauty is a manifestation, a projection of inner beauty, Isha Yiras Hashem, then the beauty is praiseworthy. It's an external beauty, but it's driven by an internal pnimius, an internal kedusha. The lotion of Shlomo HaMelech, Nezer ba'af ha'chazir. You have a beautiful gold nose ring. Magnificent. It's a work of art. But you put it in the nose of a pig. First of all, the pig looks ridiculous. First of all, the pig looks ridiculous. But not only that, but the ring itself has become despicable. Rochav HaZoyna stood in front of these two great people, Kalev and Pinchas. And for the first time in her life, she'd met men that not only didn't find her attractive, but found her despicable. They found her disgusting. And it was shocking for her. She suddenly realized she was an empty shell. There was nothing inside of her. She had no identity. She didn't know who she was anymore. 40 years, people had been melting at her feet. And yet two people look at her and they find her beauty disgusting because it's Sheker Rachein Behevel HaYoyfi. There's no Pnim. And she was stopped dead in her tracks. And she went searching inside herself to see, if I have this external beauty, then inside I must have the ability to have an inner beauty that parallels that outer beauty. What am I going to do with it? And she comes to a Korov Hashem. The psukim, I don't have the psukim in front of me. She says, I know that you're from Hashem Elokim, Sheba Shemaim, Uva Ala Aretz Mitachas. She recognizes Hashem in that moment. And she sees in her people that are in touch with something else. 40 years she's been hanging out with people who understand one thing. And suddenly she encounters people who live in a higher plane. They're living in a different world. And it resonates with her. The core of that tumor was broken. The core of that tumor. Please, won't you do that? Please don't do that. Because there's three other two. You know, like, unless you need it for a Hamadiyah article you're writing about the yeshiva. That core was shattered. They'd broken through the core of Rochav Azoina, the Avia Ava Satuma of Canaan, mission accomplished, and they go home. And Rochav goes on to become Rochava B'Schiyos. She was Rochav. She was Rochav in the negative concept of the idea, and she now became Rochava B'Schiyot. Caleb and Pinchas had achieved the mission that Yeshua had sent them. Rochav Azoina had been broken, and she is now the future wife of Yeshua, the grandmother of great Nevi'im. That's lesson number one. The external beauty doesn't get us going. We're looking for pnimius. We're looking for somebody that has something inside of themselves. But there's something much more profound and deep here, and at the same time, very disturbing. The Gemara in Zvachim, round about the Kuf Chof, I can't remember exactly where, Kuf Yudzayin, Kuf Tetzvav, Alalo Zocher, Rabbi Grossness maybe remembers. Aval Rochav there, the Gemara tells us, says to Hashem like this, Hashem, with these three things I sinned, let these three things be a kapara for me because I use them positively. What are the three things? The pishtan, the chaloin, and the chevel. The flax that was on the roof where she hid the merog there and where the customers needed to hide sometimes, she had flax on the roof. The window, where they didn't want to be seen, so they didn't come through the front door, they came through the window. And they used the rope to get through the window. Well, those three things are sinned. And then she helped the Meraglim with those three things. So that should be a kapara for the three things I sinned with. That's a Gemara, which we understand nothing. Because those three things had really nothing to do with the Aveira. Those aren't essentially elements of her sin. That's what she sinned with. And if she didn't have a window, they would have come through the fire escape. I mean, well, if she had bananas on the roof, she would have hit them in the bananas. Those are incidentals. Those are important parts of the story here. What is going on here? That's what she sinned with. 40 years? That's all she can find. I could give her a list of things that she maybe, you know, could have also needed a kapara for. No, the flax, the wind down the rope, that's the whole story. So this needs understanding, I think, if you've cut the problem. So there's a Maharal here, which is very cryptic. But I'll tell you what I heard from Rav Miller from Gateshead explaining this. And he said he's explaining what he heard from his Rebbeim. My guess is, I don't know, but my guess is this is from either of Hutna, who he learned from, or from Moshe Shapiro, his Rebbe. That's all. That's my guess. I don't know. But I heard it from him. Let's start with Pishtan. Pishtan has another name. It's called Bud. Mitznefes Bud. All the big day kahuna, they wore linen, flax, linen. They used the word bud. Bud, base, dalet. Why? The Gemara tells us because it grows bud. All bushes grow with a central, look, bushes are little trees. They have a central trunk. And then things grow out of the central trunk. Flax doesn't grow that way. It grows bud, individual stalks that are not connected to the other stalks. That's how flax grows. From Loshen Bodod, meaning alone. Flax represents bedidut, aloneness. Loneliness is a terrible thing. A terrible thing. And it's not so posh to live with loneliness. It's a painful, difficult thing. And when a person's lonely, what does he do? He looks for relationships. He looks for connections. He goes to a window and looks out and sees, what can I connect with to fill this loneliness? And then he throws out a rope and he connects to whatever's out there with the rope. My role. He connects to what's out there with a rope and he draws it to himself. That's the Maharal. What's going on here? There's two aspects of loneliness. There's the notovius adam levadoi. It's not a good thing for a person to be alone. And then there's a very positive aloneness, because everybody in the world is alone. Certainly every yid in the world is alone. Because you are like no other person in the world, and you have a job to do that no one else can do. In that aspect of why you're in this world, your uniqueness, you're completely alone. No one is going to experience your experiences, and no one's going to do what you're supposed to do, and no one's going to be you. And no one's going to be able to achieve the greatness you're supposed to achieve. Vayavasa Yaakov Levodoy is a very positive quality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Yechidi. Hashem is Yechidi, is alone. I can't give you anything. Therefore, I'm not needy. When I go to the window, when I feel alone, not lonely, and I go to the window, I'm looking out and seeing, what can I do for you? When I throw up the rope, I throw up the rope to see, how can I help you? Well, how do I express my unique mission in this world? By reaching out and helping others, as opposed to being lonely and reaching out to others to use them to fill my hole, and then I get into all sorts of superficial, negative, embarrassing, dangerous, horrific relationships because I'm lonely. The work is to be, as they say, somebody knows how to be alone will never be lonely. We're all alone. We're all alone. So you can swing between Lotovius Adam Levadoi and Vyavasa Yaakov Levadoi. That's the milchama that's going on all the time. And that was Rachav Azayna. She understood that it was her loneliness. It was her feeling desolate that forced her to go to the window and bring in all these very, very superficial, unhealthy relationships into her life. And then she realized, I can use that aloneness for doing something positive and beneficial and helping somebody else, risking myself. I have a unique mission in this world. How am I going to fulfill it? How am I going to use the aloneness and the rope and the window to build myself into that which Hashem put me in the world to achieve? That, says the Maharal, is what's going on with the flax, the window, and the rope. Where's the milchama? Am I lonely or am I alone? And how do I use that aloneness to become the person I was put in this world to become? How do I achieve my mission in this world? Yosef was just about to sin with Ashi's Potiphar. By the way, if you think about it, what Yosef didn't finish with Ashi's Potiphar, Yeshua finished with the Meraglim he sent to Rachav Azayna, because he never cracked Ashi's Potiphar's call. He was just about to sin, and he held on that little bit extra longer, she might have broken then. And that core of tumor that needed to be broken in her, she represented, that tumor would have been broken then. But he didn't. He ran out the room and she continued being who she was. And he went off to prison. What was going on with Yosef? Was there anybody in the world who had more right to be lonely? His mother died when he was 9. Had a bunch of siblings who weren't exactly that supportive of his way of life, to say the least. He was ripped away from the only person who meant anything to him, and had a kesher with his father when he was 17 years old, and thrown into Mitzrayim. Any idea what that must feel like for a 17-year-old boy? And then he's tormented and tortured by this woman, and he wins the test and he gets thrown into prison. Anybody have a right to turn around and say, you know, I'm very lonely, my life's a mess, and I would like to, you know, also have a little bit of pleasure in this world? Where were the brothers looking for Yosef when they came to Mitzrayim? Where were they looking for Yosef? Huh? No. Joseph sent message Joseph to the gates and tell them when these boys, when the 12 guards come in, arrest him and bring this to him. He was looking for them in the less desirable area of town. Why? Because that's the profile. If you ask a computer, where's this kid today? They'll tell you, a lonely kid like that, for sure, that's where you're going to find him. Rochav HaZoina, her neighborhood. That's where you look for a guy like Yosef. What happened that night? He was about to sin. All the time he'd been holding in Vayevasa Yaakov Levodoy. I have a mission here, and it wasn't a small mission. We are told by Kadmonim that if Yosef failed with Ashes Potipharah, that would have been the end of the world. That would have been the end of Klal Yisrael's mission in the world. It wasn't just a small personal nisayon. He knew what was going on here. But he'd slipped out of Vayevasa Yaakov Levodoy into a Lotavius Adam Levodi was just about to sin. What happens? He sees his father's vision. He sees Vayevasa Yaakov Levodi, the message of Yaakov in the window. The message is, Yosef, you're going to a window because you're feeling something. Check out what that feeling is. Is it loneliness or aloneness? When you go to that window, what are you going to do with it? You're gonna sin with Ashes Potiphar, or you're going to do something that's going to rumble through thousands of years and going to stand in good stead forever? Are you going to fulfill your mission in this journey, or are you going to slip? That was the vision he saw in the window. Because when you're lonely, you go to a window. When you're alone, you go to a window. The one's a very negative thing. The other one's very positive. Depends how you relate to your aloneness. And you see it. When Yosef's in prison, what do we know about his life in prison? He notices that somebody is looking a bit downtrodden today. And yesterday he was bubbling with simcha. My guess is most people in an Egyptian prison in those days probably looked downtrodden all the time. He notices a subtle shift. Why? Because he's looking out the window to see how can I help somebody else. He learned the lesson. He got the message from Yaakov in the window. I just have my own insight here. You can do what you want with this. I've never heard from anybody. But we know that he mentioned two words to the Sirim afterwards. He told them their dream and they got released. And he told them, remember me to Paro. And he got another 2 years in prison because of that. So the normal pshat there is a lack of bitmochen. He made too much. He's shtadlis. I want to tie in it. Could be that I'm wrong. I don't know. That the reason why he got another 2 years in prison, not because he had a lack of bitmochen. It was because he started becoming needy. Why are you asking them to remember you to Paro? Because you're thinking about yourself. You don't know how to think about yourself, Yosef. Maybe that was the... Go spend another 2 years in prison and rebuild the Vayevasa Yaakov Levodoy where you don't need anything. You're just looking to see how you can give. He was asking for something for himself. That's what the dreams were about, no? He's standing in the middle and everyone's bowing down to him. And the brothers say, that's self-centered, needy. That's a very negative quality. That's not a Yaakov quality. And Yaakov says, you're right. What he does with that. And what did he do with that? He saved the whole world. He saved Yaakov. He saved his brothers. They would have starved to death otherwise. He went through all of this as an act of total giving. Yes, they'll bow down to me. But not in the way they thought. It's not about me. It's about their needs. And I'll give them what they need. And he saved the whole world. And he prepared the ground for Klal Yisrael to go into Mitzrayim, into Golus, which we wouldn't have gone to where we needed to be without that Golus either. Yosef smashed the tumah there that we were able to go there and survive. Had Yosef not gone there before and opened up the ability for us to go there, we couldn't have survived Mitzrayim. Kulu giving. But on his level, there were some slips here. But that's Yosef. He's in prison, and what does he see? When he looks out the window, he sees two downtrodden Egyptians. So you know what you do? You go back to your cell and you ignore them. You don't want to get involved because you've got enough problems of your own. That's not Yosef. That's a Lord Tovius Adam Levodre. He looks out and he sees what's going on in the world and he sees the problems and the difficulties and he says, you know what? I'm out of here. I have my own problems. Thank you. That's not what a big person does. That's not what any Jew is supposed to do. You're supposed to look out and say, how can I reach out and help somebody here? What can I do for you? That's the message. And that's why we got the Torah. That's why we got the Torah. Because without the Torah, you know what you look like? You look like Rochav HaZoyna before the transformation. You look what the rest of the world looks like. How much instant gratification can I get? Because I don't feel so nice about myself. You've been brainwashed into thinking that you're a lowlife without my product, or without this, or without that. You don't belong. The world's screaming at you and persuading you to be lonely. You get a Torah, and the Torah says, why are you lonely? You're alone with Hashem. You have a mission. You have greatness inside of you. Use that greatness to reach out. Recognize your aloneness, your uniqueness. Go to the window and throw out the rope and see who you can help. Instead of using that for all this negative, damaging, dangerous interactions that we sometimes tend to fall into. That's how you learn a little bit of Chumash and a little bit of Tanakh. When you have a gift of Torah and you see what it looks like through the eyes of great people. Who would have noticed that then? But that's what's going on. That's what's going on here. Yeshua finished the job that Yosef started, but just didn't finish. It was Hashkocha, that's what we needed. And we're on the same mission. This is we're just the hemshech of that Maisa Avos, Simon Labonim. So we have work to do. That's why we got the Torah. That's what Shulz is about. Scratch the surface of the Torah you're learning. There's depths and worlds and treasure houses lurking in there, and it's all relevant to me. Because if it's written in the Torah, it has to be relevant. You have to find the relevance for me. We have to go from being lonely to being alone. We have to go from drawing things to us to fill our holes, to see if we can fill and help other people's holes. We give it a siyata dishmaya. We fulfill our mission. We should get to Shmuz. We makabel Torah. Shel vatzloch and brocha bekol inyonim.